Well, hey, good morning. We see the kids starting to leave. You guys who are in Kids Point, Wendy's in the back. You are welcome to go ahead and head out to your classrooms with your teachers this morning. For those of you present here this morning, good morning. I'm glad that you're here. And for those of you that are joining us online this morning, we're so glad that you could join us as well. I want to take just a moment and say a word of thanks to all of you here today for wearing these. Having heard from several of you, I know that we have a wide variety of opinions and perspectives on whether you should or shouldn't wear a mask, on whether they do or they don't do any good. And I know that most of us are pretty passionate about whatever position that we take on that. But whatever you are, I want to say thank you because helping us comply with the Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb's executive order as well as the mandate from the Floyd County Board of Health is appreciated, and I wish that we didn't have to wear them, and I'm sure you do too. I do want to let you know that the Board of Health, the Floyd County Board of Health, did email churches this week and spoke with pastors. And last night, I was talking to one pastor in particular who was doing some correspondence with the board and just wanted to make sure that pastors, as they were teaching, as well as a worship team, as they were leading in singing and in worship, that it was okay for them to remove their masks. And that is okay from our Board of Health because we're doing the best we can for physical distancing. And so that's why mine is off and your worship team was off while they were up here. And so again, I want to thank you. And we acknowledge until about September 12th, this is our reality. But we'll continue to monitor things unless and see if anything changes. And I would encourage you to be a people praying, for this, as I'm sure you have been, would encourage you as well to maybe even ramp up your prayers as we ask God to take this thing away from us and away from our world. So again, good. We are so glad that you're here. We are in a summer message series that you see on the screen or on your TV that I've entitled Summer Smarts. And we are taking a journey through the Old Testament book of Proverbs in an effort to gain wisdom, to gain smarts, to gain that ability to discern right from wrong, good from bad, which way we should go, which way we shouldn't go, how we should live, and all kinds of other things. And it has been a fun journey so far. I've heard from many of you who are enjoying this and who are following along and who are taking to heart the assignment that I've been giving you each week to read a specific amount of Proverbs and then interact with me and email me and let me know where God is speaking to you in the midst of this journey into Proverbs. And so thank you for doing that. And for those of you who might be new to where we are today, over the last few weeks, we have covered Proverbs chapter 1 through 9. And if I would summarize what those first 9 chapters are really all about, we would discover that what our author's intent has been is to incite in us, to ignite in us, to create this desire within us to choose wisdom over folly or over foolishness. In other words, to choose God's way instead of the world's way. Choose the right way instead of the wrong way. That life is filled with choices. And what we see in these first 9 chapters is that God wants us to make the best choices we can as we continue to align ourselves up with the authority of his word and his son. In these first 9 chapters, they actually told us exactly what Proverbs is there for. In Proverbs 1:1-4, what we discover is that this book is unique in the sense that other books do this, but this one so clearly lays out for us exactly what it is all about. Again, that's choosing wisdom and avoiding folly. When we look at 1-4 in the first chapter, we find these words. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. So we know who wrote it. We know who is attributed to the authorship of this book. Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. And notice this. He tells us their purpose, this whole book, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose from chapter 1 through 31 is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. So Proverbs tells us the whole purpose is for us to discover wisdom and to avoid folly, to discover how to make the right choices as opposed to the wrong choices. Now, when we today are going to begin jumping into kind of another segment of the book that starts with chapter 10, and I've labeled chapter 10 through 31 this, nuggets of wisdom like a buffet of hors d'oeuvres. Because it's not like other books, it's not a narrative, it's not in the story form, but what we're going to discover is as we read this, there's all these nuggets that many times they don't hang together with anything else in the book. They're just these little nuggets, like you were going to a buffet and you're getting a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And what we're going to discover in reading these chapters, I hope and I pray, is that each chapter will speak to you somewhere. Now, I believe that Scripture always does that because Scripture is the living word. It is God's word to us, and its unique ability to speak truth and wisdom into our lives is unparalleled. And so if we will read and listen, have eyes to see and ears to hear, we will discover, I promise you, that every week when you read one of these chapters, you will find at least one nugget that pertains to your life and your experiences. Now, as I said, I've invited you to share with me some of the nuggets that you have been gleaning from reading, and I want to share just a couple of them with you this morning. This one comes from somebody who says, Proverbs 10:9 really spoke to me. It says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. This person wrote, I have long felt that the only things in this world that cannot be taken from you are faith and integrity. You can lose everything else in this world. Your money and your possessions can even be taken from you. Even those you love can be taken from you. But you would have to be willing to give up your faith and your integrity. Each day I wake and commit to keeping both close. That's a good word, good insight. Another person wrote lots of references to mouth, lips, and tongue and goes and cites these for me. And this person says, my words, summarizing all this, says, my words should be positive, uplifting, instructional, and holy, not negative, damaging, confusing, and evil. Everything we say, get this, everything we say is an opportunity to serve God if we seek Jesus first. And then this one. What jumped out at me is how Solomon uses parts of the body to show us our ways. And we discover that in this chapter. But what I want to do this morning is I want to kind of focus in on this overall theme that I saw in chapter 10. Now, there are, again, lots of nuggets. But in this chapter, I saw this theme beginning to emerge as I read this over and over and over. And one of the ways that we discover themes is to look for ideas or concepts or words that tend to be repeated. And in chapter 10, the word words is repeated over and over and over. And it seems to me that one of the truths that chapter 10 in Proverbs is lifting up for us is that we need to be careful with our words. I would propose to you at probably an unparalleled time in our world, we have to even be so much more careful with our words. And we're going to talk about that today. Because now our words aren't just what we write. Our words aren't just what we say. But our words in a super big way are conveyed via social media. And I don't know about you, but every time I go on it now, there's so much vitriol. There is so much ugliness and negativity. I saw that somebody said, whatever happened to just posting pictures about your kids, your pets, and your vacations? We've used it as this tool to tear people down, to dig on people. And I think we've got to be so careful by what we post, so careful by what we share, so careful with what we like, because we are painting a picture of who we are by those things. And so I think this idea of words is so appropriate to the time in which we find ourselves. Let me lift up some of the things in Proverbs chapter 10 that speak to this idea of words. Proverbs 10:11, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Proverbs 10:13, wise words come from the lips of people with understanding, but those lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. Proverbs 10:19 through 21, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Boy, could it get like any clearer than that? That's what it says. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. And then this from Proverbs 10:31 through 32. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. So what do we discover in this chapter, in chapter 10, what do we discover when we begin to take these verses and bring them together to come up with some ideas about what do these verses point out to us about words? And what I would propose to you is, number one, words have tremendous power. I mean, beyond what we see. Power beyond our wildest imagination. Now think about it. God used words to literally speak creation into being. Light, darkness, the cosmos, water, land, sea, plants, animals, human beings. Everything that God created was by his word. So we see there that words are powerful things. But when it comes to human beings and the power of words, we understand that the power to use words is a unique and powerful gift from God. There is no other created being that can use words the way that we can. Now, we can get them to try to mimic some words, but independent thought, the ability to articulate sentences, to put thought things together, we are the only species in the whole created order that has the ability to use words, and that makes it unique and powerful, and it is a gift from God. But you know what God's gifts can be. They can also be his greatest curses if they're not used appropriately. Check this out. Creative words do what? They create. Destructive words, they destroy. Hurtful words crush, but helpful words build up. Toxic words poison. Soothing words heal. Faith-filled words bring life, but faithless words, they bring death. Blogger, author, and CEO Michael Hyatt puts it this way: our words have power. They impact others, but they also impact us. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, at his word. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. You see the power of words to create. Some author said, the power of words is in the meaning they convey and the effect they have on the human heart. In an article entitled The Power of Words, Brendan McCauley writes this. He says, the words we use in our minds repeatedly to describe ourselves and our identity are some of the most powerful forces in our lives. When we think about the power of words, we often don't really think about the fact that the words we choose literally shape our lives. It's been said that their meaning crystallizes perceptions that shape our beliefs, drive our behavior, and ultimately create our world. Their power arises from our emotional responses when we read, speak, or hear them. When I was doing the research for my doctoral dissertation, I discovered, because one part of that dissertation was looking at theological language or God language and words, and one of the things that I discovered is that the words that we have actually help shape the reality and to create the reality around us. They have the ability, the words that we use, to change our present and our future, and they have the power to do the same for people around us. So words, the words that we choose, have tremendous power. Number two, we discover that words can do great harm or words can do great good. McCauley also writes in his article, "The choices we make with our language sets the parameters or the boundaries of our lives. The power of words comes into play during the times when we define our reality, and I would say the reality of others as well. Look what Proverbs 18:21 says about words. The tongue, our words, can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap their consequences. Or Matthew 15:11, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth." So the idea that sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us is simply not true, because they will hurt us and they hurt others as well. Sigmund Freud said this about the power of words: they can bring either the greatest happiness or the deepest despair. They can transfer knowledge from one teacher to student. Words enable the orator to sway his audience and dictate its decisions. Words are capable of arousing the strongest emotions and prompting all men's and women's actions. A pastor and one of my favorite authors that I've often quoted, Greg Rochelle, he says this in one of his books regarding that sticks and stones phrase. "Sticks and stones can bruise your body for a few days, but words can scar your soul for life." So what can words do? Words can bring curses and death, like a neutron bomb. Words can devastate and tear us down and destroy us. How many names have you ever been called, maybe from years ago, that you still remember, that still hold a place of hurt or angst in your life? How many times have you self-limited yourself because of your self-deprecating words? Or how many times have you self-limited yourself because of what someone else has said about you or to you? How often have you heard words like, "I hate you," that have cut you to the bone? Now, we're all guilty, right? We're all guilty of using or thinking words that do not honor God. So when I'm reading this, I'm like, this is slapping me in the face and causing me to say, wow, all right, good reminder. I got to figure out how to choose my words more carefully. James 3:4-5, we read these words that vividly paint a picture for us about the power of words. James writes, "A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." Have you ever noticed how many fires, whether they're just small little campfires or big raging forest fires have gotten started over words. Maybe words on social media. Maybe words in conversation. Maybe words that somebody overheard. If you want to see just how harmful and hateful words can be, spend a few moments looking at what people do post on their social media. Look at what they share. Look at what they simply give a thumbs up to. Now, I share this because I've been looking at social media lately. We're Facebook living and we're trying to stream our service and do the best we can to provide a great worship experience for you watching. So I've kind of been back on social media when I had kind of taken off of social media for a little while. And I just often find myself going, dang, that's bad. What kind of a picture are we painting of ourselves? What are we sharing? I read this earlier this week. Words are invisible weapons. They shatter dreams or build them, uplift a soul or tear it down. Words carry more than sounds and meaning. They carry power. One kind word can make someone's day. Choose your words carefully. Think before you speak. Why? Because words can bring curses and death. But words can also bring blessings and life. Blessings and life. So the Bible encourages us to speak words of life and blessing. In Colossians 4:6, we read these words, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." It's been said that sometimes a single word can change everything. I think that's why the Bible says things like this in Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." Think of the power we wield and the impact we can make if we become better, more intentional about encouraging others with words of blessing, words of life, words of hope, words of peace, words of grace, words of assurance, words of love. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up." How do we do that? With our words. Why? Because the right words at the right time in the right place can make all the difference in someone's life. In their book, Building Your Mate's Self-Esteem, Dennis and Barbara Rainey write this: "Words are like seeds. Once planted in your mate's soul, your words will bring forth flowers or weeds, health or disease, healing or poison. You carry a great responsibility for their use. Words can bring curses and death or blessings in life." Since we know that words have tremendous power, and since we know that words can do great harm or great good, number three, when it comes to the words we hear, we have a choice to make. When it comes to the words we hear, we have a choice to make. We can receive them as truth, or we can reject them as lies. In other words, we must choose carefully who and what we listen to and what we do with what we hear. Let me say that again. We need to choose carefully who and what we listen to and who what we do with the words we hear. I like what Craig Rochelle says in his book, Soul Detox. We obviously can't control what others say about us, but we can control what we believe. So we have to choose carefully who and what we listen to and what we do with that. But not only do we have to choose carefully who and what we listen to and what we do with that, when it comes to the words we say, and let me add that we write, text, share, or like, we also have a choice to make, that we get to either speak life or take it. The words we use can actually change a person's here and now, and they can change a person's future. I remember when I got called into ministry, and I was like, there's no way I could do that. Standing up and talking every Sunday, figuring out what to say, to do this thing called ministry. And I remember one of my mentors looked me right in the eye and said, you can do that. When I grew up not figuring out that I was good at anything, I was the C average student on everything. But when I had one guy, his name is Ken, look at me and said, you can do this. That spoke life into me. Again, it doesn't mean that it's easy, but it was that affirmation that I could do it. Few words, you can do this. We can speak life into people, or we can take it. They can change the here and now, and they can change a future. So the Bible encourages us to use words that are kind and uplifting and encouraging. Never mean or degrading or discouraging. We should find something good to say about others. Think how much better the world would be if we were simply kind to others. That doesn't mean that we can't disagree and have our differences. We can definitely have those. We can have differing points of views. We can disagree with one another, but something's happened in our world that becomes more difficult today. I think it's something that we have to recover. How do we actually disagree or have differences of opinion, but still love one another and still treat one another kindly? Again, just imagine what our world would look like if we could figure out how to rediscover that, how we could speak words of life into other people's lives. What if we built others up more and never sought to tear someone else down, even if we adamantly disagreed with them? Check out this quote that I read this week. Words are powerful. Be careful how you use them, because once you have pronounced them, you cannot remove the scar they leave behind. Think about this. Virtually everything related to our existence is somehow connected to the power of words. Craig Crochelle says the right words at the right time can be helpful, healing, or life transforming. So what do we learn from Proverbs about the power of words? We've seen it in the first 9 chapters. We've seen it in chapter 10. And I tell you, it will be a recurring theme that we'll see throughout the rest of Proverbs. That our words have tremendous power. They can do great harm or they can do great good. So when it comes to the words we say and the words we hear, we have to be discerning. We have a choice to reject or to receive them. We have a choice to speak life or to speak death. So we should choose carefully. Let me remind you of these words from Proverbs 10, 19 through 21. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. Sterling silver, by the way, was the most precious metal in the ancient days. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. When I was in seminary in my preaching classes, I remember every preaching professor looked at us students and said, here's what you need to do with every single one of your sermons, every single message. You figure out, is there something you want the people to do to think, or to feel? Do you want them to do, think, or feel? I want you to do all three today. I want you to think. We need to be thinking about the words that we say. I want us to feel the words that we say. I want us to say the right things. I want us to figure out in our lives, how do we use words in there with all the power that they have to speak life into situations and to not denigrate it? How do we bring forth blessings and not curses? Again, this is something that I'm convinced we all struggle with this, because words are so often paired with such strong emotive responses, right? But we got to figure out how do we say the right words at the right time, in the right place, for the right reasons, so that people might look at us and say, there's something about you that's different, which then opens up a door for us to share the gospel. See, that's that transforming work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, that continues to renew us and to recreate us and to transform us more and more to the image of Christ, who never uttered a bad word. So we've got to figure out how to do that. Because I believe as our language shapes the reality around us, y'all, we have the power. We have the power to shape a new reality in our community, and I believe in our world, by the words that we use. So the word from Proverbs this week is, choose carefully the words that you use. So next week, I want you to read, this week, I want you to read Proverbs chapter 11. And I want you to read it over and over. I want you to read it in other translations, because sometimes the words that one translation uses might be a little bit more difficult for us to understand, and another translation might put it exactly the way we're feeling right now. Because translations are beautiful things, because they help us to understand God's word in time and space. So I'd love it if you would read chapter 11 and then share with me just a brief email. Again, you heard, I don't tell who it is, but share where God might be speaking to you in developing some summer smarts. Because we're all in process, right? We are all a work in process, figuring out who we are in Christ and allowing his spirit to continue to transform us and conform us more to the image of Christ. So if you do that and then share that with me, I'd love to see where God is maybe working on you a little bit this week. And we'll see what he might show us as we seek to be faithful in reading his word. So chapter 11, and then share with me where God might be speaking to you. Let's pray. Lord God, your word seems, in a way, this week, so simple. And yet, for so many of us, Lord, me included, Lord, I do not always do a good job of choosing my words carefully. I often fail. There are so many times, God, that I don't know the right words to say, and I probably need to take more to heart what you said in this chapter of Proverbs, where that maybe I just need to keep my mouth shut. And Lord, I just want to ask that for me and for everyone who's here or watching or listening, God, that you would stir in us a desire to speak godly words, to speak words of life and blessing, to be so careful and so diligent in the words that we use. God, we want to point people towards you. We want to point people to a life-giving relationship with you. And so, Lord, we're going to ask today that you would help remove anything, any hindrance, anything in us that might be a detriment for that to happen. And Lord, for all of us, probably one of the biggest ways is by helping us to choose the right words, to say the right words at the right time in the right places, to speak words of life and blessing, to not join in with the complainers and the gripers and the folks who just pull us down, but to join in with the words of life. So God, we invite you to do that work in us, through us, and with us, to the end that we would reflect you in this world in which we find ourselves, that your kingdom might come on earth, in our time and space, as it is in heaven. So lead us and guide us and use us this week, we pray, in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.